This morning,
I did get the date on this one right. It is October 9th. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to draw your swords and flip with me to the book of Ephesians. The cat that caused the audience to this morning is to help you understand the warfare that we're in. As you look at the book of Ephesians, Paul covers a lot of important things in here. Marriage, parenting, the body of Christ, just a tremendous amount of data. And then when he gets to the end of the book, our verse 10 of chapter 6, he writes the word finally. So after you have seriously considered being a part of the body of Christ, after you've learned what he wants you to learn about being a husband, being a wife, being a parent, being a child, being a good worker, all of these other things, finally, you get to verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong and courageous, he would tell Joshua. Joshua is one of the most famous soldiers in the Jewish history. And you remember what he told Joshua? Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Remember that? Joshua, be strong and courageous, he'd tell him. Joshua, now get ready to go into battle and be strong and courageous. Stand firm. You know, God doesn't waste words. If Joshua wasn't afraid, he wouldn't have told him so many times to be strong and courageous. When you and I begin to conceive the reality of spiritual warfare and battle, it's a scary thing. So, we are to finally be strong in the Lord and in His strength. When we just read for our offering, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Christ through me that gives us the strength to do that. Verse 11, put on. As Marty sang and you saw me strew out all of the elements of being a combat soldier in the year 2005, you have to put these things on. It's a practical process that every day soldiers do when they're going into battle. And it's a practical process that I believe you and I should do. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand firm, therefore. Do you realize how many times he says stand firm? Did you notice that? It's like three times he repeats it. See, that's what we're supposed to do, is stand with Jesus. We don't have to run all over being crazy people. We don't have to go on the charge. We stand united with Him. Right? Verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all these, take up the shield of faith, with which you will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, with all prayer and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit. Remember singing this just a couple of minutes ago? Ephesians 6:18. With all prayers and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with the perseverance and the petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that the utterances may be given to me at the opening of my mouth, to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel. For I and you am an ambassador in proclaiming that which I speak boldly as I ought to speak. So take your outline on the back of your bulletin there. And it says, the first section we're going to look at is verses 10, 11, and 12. Here's the question you have to ask yourself, first of all, in considering combat. Whose side am I on? Right? I mean, doesn't that seem natural? Now, when you look at my uniform that I'm dressed in here, is it designed to stand out? No. It's designed to do what? Camouflage me. Do you realize the other side does this too? The other side dresses in camouflage and they try to hide. In military battle, in spiritual battle, they are camouflaged, just like me. I actually have a dress hat on. This is not, but I couldn't find the other one this morning. So here's the three choices. I can be on the Lord's side. I can be on the devil's side. The third one is a question. Can I be on no one's side? Deb's shaking her head no. I heard it rattling before I saw it. You can't be on nobody's side. Now, some of the church members today are going to watch a Bears game. I'll almost guarantee that. Now then, in the watching a Bears game, do you get black and blue watching that, DJ, like you did the other night? No. And I have this thought for you. Is being a spectator of a sport biblical? Anywhere in the Bible do you see God teaching us to be a spectator? Anywhere. Can anybody think of a biblical illustration where you're supposed to be a spectator in the sport? No, that's a worldly, fleshly, devilish concept that is very well promoted in our society. That you can be a spectator and just watch. That is not biblically true. You cannot be a spectator in the spiritual warfare battle. You are either fighting on God's side against evil, or you're rebelling against God and serving Satan. That's it. Those are the only two choices. You don't have a grandstand seat. I did a big wedding last night, and I was again double booked. Somebody gave me tickets to go to the Mark and out to dinner. I said, oh, man, I got this church, and there was 300 and some odd people showed up for me to do a church service at the Lutheran church over on 16th Avenue. I said, oh, man, I'm going to do a wedding. I can't go to a concert, but thanks. Jules and I would love to go to a concert at the Mark. Love to go out to dinner free. Wouldn't you? But I was double booked. Couldn't go. I chose to be a servant and serve rather than to go be a spectator. And it was a hard choice. I actually called Jules and I said, suppose I could get out of that wedding? She says, no, Wilmer, they're going to expect you to show up. Okay, well, Jules says, well, tell him if he gets more tickets and more free dinners, let us know another time. Hey, babe, you know. You can't be a spectator in this. When you're born in Satan's army. You need to make a choice to join God's army through Jesus Christ. But you have to know whose side you're on. So, who's the enemy is your next one. And verse 12 explains to us that our battle is against spiritual forces. Who's the enemy? It's not flesh and blood. It's not people. It's not people that are our enemies. It's spiritual forces that are our enemy. It's not my sister. Although at different times in my life, I would have doubted the scripture that maybe she was the enemy. Kent's got a big smile on his face. Yeah. Right? But it's not people that we fight against. Even though some people you meet may be diligent servants of the other side, your battle is not with them. It's with the spiritual forces, the rulers and powers in the darkness, in the spiritual realm, wickedness in the heavenly places. There's bad spirits out there. There's good spirits out there in the heavenly places. And you and I need to unite with the good spirits. Now then, how do we prepare for this battle? We put on the attire, which is the illustration part of the service. If Marty was singing that song and I strewed this all out, I want to walk through each of those pieces and talk to you about that. But before I do, let me take you to the last thing on your outline. Here's the pieces that I'll put on. The boots of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you realize that when Paul wrote this and the Roman army was there, that essentially the army of 2005 that's fighting in Baghdad does the same thing, dresses the same way as the Romans did thousands of years ago? Do you understand that's true? Warfare has not changed, other than man has made it more distant. When you think about warfare from God's perspective, it's close enough that you can see the guy. It's not like the warfare, like that B-18 bomber that some of you saw on the front of it doing 1.5 times the speed of sound across the lake in Afghanistan, which is just really lickety-split cool. You know? And those things are so fast and so quiet, they're on you and you're dead before you even knew they were coming. You can't see them on radar and you can't see them in the sky. It's a really trick deal. But that's not the way God designs warfare. Warfare is close enough you can hit him. We have a couple Marines here, and Clarence and Daryl, when Marines are trained, one of the things they like the best is when their gunny sergeant says, "Well, let's give them cold steel, boy. Put on the bayonet," you know? That's the type of warfare in the Bible. Close combat. Don't think of warfare like in our generation where you're doing Mach 3 in a dive. Right? Spiritual warfare is close. Close proximity. Lastly, what's my assignment? What's my mission as a soldier? My mission as a soldier is to pray. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's your last point. What's my mission? What's my assignment? To pray. To pray at all times, in all ways. To pray for each other. Notice when I put on all this dress, there's nothing that covers this part of me. Right? For those people who are listening to that on the internet, that's my backside. You're supposed to cover my backside. As we stand in formation, you protect my back. I protect yours. We work together in this. So look with me at the implements. These are jungle boots. And they have steel shanks that run through the bottom of them because the Viet Cong used to like to dig holes and put sharp bamboo sticks in these holes and then put feces all over them and then cover them with branches. So when you stepped into the trap and the punji stick went up through your boot or the side of your leg, you were instantaneously contaminated with nasty viral things. And so we design boots that have steel shanks in them. They also have weep holes in the side to let the water out and not let the leeches in. You'll notice that my boots are, these are actually airborne jump boots. These are parachuters' dress boots. And you notice my pant legs are tucked in. Why? So the leeches and the creepy crawlies can't crawl up your britches. And for the guys, they have extra flaps in here. It's really a pain to get the buttons undone and to do the physical things that you need to do, because there's special flaps in there so the critters can't crawl in your britches. The gospel of peace. Now, imagine with me, if I had these boots on and I stood over here, I would be in peace, wouldn't I? If I had these boots on and I stood over here, I would be in peace, wouldn't I? See, the reality of getting dressed in peace with God, wherever I stand with my boots on, I am in peace with God, wherever I stand firm with Him. Do you get the concept? When you have peace with God, the gospel of peace on your feet, wherever you stand, you are in peace with God. So when you get dressed spiritually, you put on the peace, which gives you peace and presence with God wherever you are. Now, this is a flak vest. And in the Bible, did I get out of there? Folks on the internet, what in the world happened there? My flak vest actually interfered with my microphone. Now, this is actually a cavalry flak vest. For a while I was in the infantry, for a while I was in the cavalry, and this is actually a cavalry flak vest that you wear in a Bradley fighting vehicle. Now, what does this look like it does? Yeah, it protects my heart, my rib cage. Yeah. Basically, it protects your heart, is what they're interested in. Whether it's Jesus wanting your heart or the enemy wanting your heart to stop, this is what the blessed plate of righteousness protects. Now, do you remember a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Christ being our Redeemer and He made us righteous and gave us forgiveness? See, when I understand my heart is protected by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, my heart's safe. Does that make sense? My heart is secure and safe. My heart's not troubled. I'm at peace with God. I got the boots on. My heart is safe and protected. I'm at peace with God even though we're in combat. Does that make sense? And Romans, theirs looked much the same as this. It was a little longer, but, you know. But essentially, they wore the same thing. And then you have the belt of truth. Now, this is actually the LBE, load-bearing equipment, if you want to understand what the military acronym is. This is the LBE that I told my wife I was going to make the belt a little bit bigger, but it was all taped up. So, Clarence, it will work. But you'll notice it's like a Batman utility belt here, isn't it? Look at all the stuff you wear. And this stuff's heavy. I mean, I got a compass up here so I don't get lost. Got a flashlight because you do a lot of stuff in the dark. This is bandages for when you get blown up. These are actually bullets in here. Here, oh, this is a fun army thing here. These, you know what these are? Yeah, they're army cards. Do you know what vehicle that is on the front of there? Probably not. Do you know what vehicle that is on the front of there? No, probably not. You know what vehicle that is on the back of there? Yeah, it's a jet. And these are cards that soldiers actually play with. A 10 of clubs is an F-104 starfighter. Now then, before I put my flak vest on, there's a badge that I wear that's a Kentucky long rifle that would tell anybody who understands soldiers' nomenclature that I'm an expert infantryman. In order to win that badge, you have to be an expert at the things that infantry people do. And it's a It's a test that you take. And Julie and I spent months practicing those things. They give you about 0.3 seconds to identify targets. And none of them are in plain sight. They're all camouflaged. Jets flash in a picture in a heartbeat. And within 0.3 seconds, you have to identify, is that a friendly vehicle or an enemy vehicle? Because that's the way warfare works. It is not slow-paced. They do not run up a sign, okay, here comes the bad guys, everybody get ready. They sneak up on you. And you have to be careful that you don't shoot the wrong guys. You have to be able to identify. And that's part of knowing all this stuff. And Clarence, you probably dug a couple holes with one of those things, haven't you? Yeah, I can say so. At one time, the three of us, especially the Marines, I mean, you could dig like a mole with that shovel. When somebody's shooting at you, it ain't very hard. And there's a bayonet on there, you know, that fits on the end of my M16. And I brought my gloves in. I haven't worn my gloves in a long time. They were in a footlocker underneath the deck. And I brought these in and laid them on the counter. And when I was unpacking all this stuff, and quite honestly, stuff got a little musty. I hadn't been taking care of it like I used to when I wore it every day. And my wife came home and she says, Wilmer, it smells like there's a wet, dead dog in my kitchen. And I said, well, no, it's really not a wet, dead dog. It's my old army gloves. And these are actually things that guys wear. And they got a little dry, Clarence, when I put them on, they split. But as you look at some of the pictures on the PowerPoint, you see the boys still have these things hung on their LBE, on their load-bearing equipment, because this is what guys wear. You have to have your fingers free to pull triggers and pull pins and stuff like that, but it's really handy to have something on the back of your hand so you got one less place for the mosquitoes to crawl. And the ants, the fire ants, are really nasty. Well, then we also have the shield of faith. And in today's modern military economy, that looks like this. When you get all buckled up in this stuff, you'd think it'd be hard to do anything, let alone run and jump. But we do. So, your shield of faith is used to protect you from fiery darts and arrows. This is actually a gas mask. I'm not going to put it on because it still has tear gas inside of it from the last time I wore it in a tear gas exercise. It'll still make you cry. But you put on the shield of faith to protect you from fiery darts that come. And the enemy does that quite often to us. He brings invisible things into your life that you need to be protected from. Now, this is the helmet of salvation. Now, why do you suppose God would use a helmet to denote our salvation? This is actually a sling for your arm when it's broken, but because the helmet has junk in it, some kind of mold that grew in it under the deck, I'm going to put this on to protect my head. We used to wear these all the time because we'd sweat, and you could also, we'd put them on backwards like a mask to keep the Here's one of the cooler things I've got, a mosquito net that goes over your helmet. That made life a lot easier. Now then, this one's actually set up for a paratrooper. It's got a chin strap in it. So you put this on and you buckle it underneath your chin like this. Because when we first you saw that first slide of that C-141 jet taken off of the airport, when you jump out the side of a jet at several hundred miles an hour, at several thousand feet in the air, your helmet has a tendency to fall off. It's not buckled on tightly. So you put on your helmet of salvation. To do what? Protect your head. Right? And it has a little thing on the front of it that says, I'm Sergeant Hauk when I wear this. It has a cross on the one side of it. Actually, it has 2 Kings written on the one side of it. When I was in the Calvary, I wrote 2 Kings on there. There's a passage that says, Jehu drove like a madman. And when I used to drive a Calvary fighting vehicle, that's pretty much, there were two speeds, idle and let's go as fast as it'll go. You know? And kind of got a reputation for being a crazy man driving those things. But this protects your thinking. Your helmet of salvation, when you know you're saved, when you know that Jesus Christ has redeemed your life, that protects your mind. Because the battlefield in spiritual warfare oftentimes is going to be up here. Do you need to protect your lungs with the shield of faith, with your gas mask? At times you do. Do you need a breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart? Yeah. Do you need the belt of truth? Because see, the belt of truth carries all of the implements that you need. Everything that you need is in the truth of who God is and what He's written in His Word. Now the challenge is, do you put this stuff on? Do you on a regular basis dress for warfare like these guys here who are praying? Do you get dressed? I'll guarantee not too many of you walk out of the house with nothing on very often. Clothes-wise, right? And I'll guarantee that many of you consider every day what it is you're going to wear. Don't you? You think about what you're going to wear. But do you on a regular basis get dressed spiritually for the day? Do you put on the armor? Do you get dressed for the battle? We do not live in paradise, brothers and sisters. We are in an enemy-occupied territory. And quite honestly, the enemy that holds this territory is rebellion against our God. You and I are called to a battle, to become warriors. And it's not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people. This battle is against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. And all of that I can't do in 20 minutes. But what I can challenge you to do is to begin seriously contemplating every day getting dressed for the day. Now, I'm called to do this, to fight against the spiritual forces of wickedness. Be on a search and rescue mission in a hostile land. There are people all around me who are captives of the enemy. My Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wants me to be on a search and rescue mission. And He wants you to be a part of that. Our Savior Jesus, the first time He came very meek, very humble, very gentle. The next time He comes back, very soon, out of the east, He's going to come dressed for warfare. And out of His mouth is a fiery sword. I was telling Clarence that when we were in the Army, we would actually pitch our government-issue Army to go for one that had USMC on it. Because one of the few things that the Marines had that were better than us is the steel that they have in their machetes. And this has got a lanyard on it that goes like that. Now, you know why I have that on there, guys? Because a lot of the times when you're hacking your way through the jungle, your arm gets so tired, and your hands all cramped up, and just fly out of your if you don't have it tied on. I took Julie to a tropical jungle in Africa. She says, I've never been in this place. It's all surrounding me. It's thick. You can't see the sky. You can't see anything. And you just got to keep hacking at it. And the rest of us follow Him. And this is what we use to do battle. It's the sword of the Spirit that we use to fight against the evil forces. I was telling Judy the other night, she called and she said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm sharpening my machete. I said, it'd become a little dull. It's not dull now, it'll cut you. And that's the way the Word of God is.
It's living and active.